I'm Afshin Ratansi, and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the UAE. Today, an American involved with Zelensky's Ukraine forces who tried to kill Donald Trump for wanting to end the proxy war on Russia is in a Florida courtroom. Trump would have become another statistic for those around the world who suspect the military-industrial complex killed JFK, RFK, MLK and Malcolm X. Today on Going Underground, we speak to someone named after civil rights leader Malcolm X, the brother of the 44th President of the United States. This is the Middle East still mourns this month's 10-year anniversary of Barack Obama's bombing of Syria, reinforcing ISIS and al-Qaeda. Malik Obama is Barack's elder brother, and he's a fierce critic of the so-called Butcher of Libya. Barack Obama was a key player in the mass killing of perhaps millions in Syria, Libya, Iraq, Somalia, Pakistan, Afghanistan and Yemen. Malik's brother ordered the dropping of at least 26,172 bombs in his final year in office alone. Today, Barack Obama is a kingmaker. He endorsed the now mentally ill genocide Joe, and amidst the carnage across the region, he has endorsed Holocaust Harris to fight Trump in November. Joining me now from Ngea in Kenya is the brother of Barack Obama. He's the chairman of the Barack H. Obama Foundation and author of Big Bad Brother from Kenya, Malik Obama. Malik, you're in a car, as I can see, on a Kenyan roadside, so it could cut out.
Yes,
you have a home,
yes,
though,
I
hopefully.
Am.
So let me just say,
yeah,
I mean, you've proofread for your brother. You were at his wedding to Michelle Obama. Today, many in D.C. believe your brother, who has endorsed Kamala Harris, is pulling the strings in the Middle East as it burns this region. Billions are given away to the dictator Zelensky. Why, if we take us back, have you always been suspicious about how he rose to become president, as you lost touch and where Barack Obama, your brother, was being talked to or groomed, you almost suggest?
Oh, well, when I met him, I didn't really have an idea of his background. I just, you know, took him on at face value. I didn't try to dig into his background. But of course, when we first met, we were just, very simple, you know, innocent and young people. We had just met and we're very excited to be together. And that was how it was up until, you know, we went on in life, and somehow he was in Chicago and I was down in Washington, D.C. And
it was Chicago where he changed from becoming a community leader to the politician and the next president of the United States, as it were, on that path.
Yeah, when I met him, I was in Chicago with him, and he was a community leader at that time. From what I gather, that's what he was doing. We sort of like, he was in Chicago, I was in Washington, D.C., and then I would, you know, read off and on, see him on the news. And then he got into politics, became a state senator. We weren't really like, he was in Chicago doing his thing, I was doing my thing in Washington, D.C. And slowly by slowly, he became, you know, he got into politics. I didn't see too much of a change. When he invited me to his wedding, that's when we came back closer together. He had a lot of friends. It was a big bash. And for me, it was just fun. I was just happy to be with him and support him in what he was doing. And that was it. The next time that we connected was when I had called him about my aunt in Boston and told him about how she was having a hard time. And we had an argument. And then from then on, then things sort of like we drifted apart. So this is after 1992, after his wedding. I think he went to Harvard. I saw him another time back then. And then he got into politics. I don't know who was behind him, how he got there. All of a sudden, he was a senator. And all of a sudden, he was running for president. And like that, like that. And that's how it is. Yeah.
But he changed as a person.
So the transition.
He changed. I mean, when you met him in the White House, when you met him, he changed as a person, because the younger Barack Obama wouldn't have destroyed Libya, would he?
Yeah, he was different. He was a different person. The connect with him, no real connection between us, just that we were brothers and that was it. I had to make my way into the White House. And when I did get there, to see him, it was just, you know, really hurried and it was rushed. And he was, you know, busy doing his thing. And I had like maybe 15, 20 minutes and that was it. So we never really got down to really talking, but there was already a wedge between us. He was different. He had changed. He was no longer that humble guy. He was, corrupted him. And he was a different person altogether.
Well, he's arguably...
So when, when he was doing all these things as the president, you know, I just took it in stride. I guess that's what he was supposed to do, you know, handling these world, handling world affairs. And, I would just see him in the news and that was it. I try to be as supportive as I could, Muammar Gaddafi, he was my good friend, and he sent me down to him and asked me if just to convey greetings. He just wanted to say hello, and if by any chance maybe they could just meet and shake hands. But he said no, that he couldn't do that, and that Muammar Gaddafi was a bad person, et cetera, et cetera. I couldn't understand that because I think at that time there was good diplomatic ties and relationships between the U.S. and Libya. And so I don't know if it was just something that not the thing to do was to be friendly with Muammar Gaddafi. But that kind of like hurt me because I could have been there, you know, to, quietly or in the open, assist him or be of help in matters to do with the USA and the Muslim world, because I'm a Muslim. Yeah.
Because your name from Malcolm X. Did he hate his blackness, Barack Obama? Because, you know, Libya was known as a supporter of Pan-Africanism, as an attempt to create a truly independent Africa of the IMF and the World Bank, of all the countries to destroy. The richest per capita country in Africa was Libya under Gaddafi. Why would he do something like that?
I don't think that he hated his blackness. I wouldn't go that far because, he's part black, or he is black, let's put it that way. I just think that he was being controlled by some other forces, maybe the Clintons, the so-called deep state, or the swamp, as Donald Trump, President Trump would call it. All those people in Washington who were, pushing the buttons and making him do what he's supposed to do. So I think that the dynamics, it had to do with the politics and the image, and somebody must have been talking to him and encouraging him and advising him on what he was doing.
But maybe did he want the money? Because he's a rich man now. What, some estimates $250 million, some $70 million. Was it the money Barack Obama, your brother, wanted, or was he being blackmailed into supporting Hillary Clinton's agenda?
No, I think he just had to play around. He had to play along in order to, to be where he was, to be the president of the USA. He had to have the backing of certain people like the Clintons. And they're the ones who are, really controlling everything out there. And whoever else was there, I don't know, maybe the Soros people, whoever the money people, whoever is running Washington, D.C., who he was in cahoots with. And they may be the ones, or it could have been even him himself. But I don't think, when I met him, Barack was a really humble, a really nice person. He was an affable guy. And he was, had a lot of humility. But when he became the president and became powerful and got involved with all those he was in the corridors of power, and he I feel that I think he had to act a certain way.
Otherwise, what would have happened if he had said no? I mean, Trump has said, Trump said no. Well, he said yes in the end, but he's out, when out of power, Trump does say he's opposed to the deep state and has attracted the support of RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard and others who don't want eternal war. If your brother had said no to all these people, the massive lobbyists from foundations and the military-industrial complex, what would have happened to your brother? What?
Yeah, he would have lost his support. I think he would have lost his support, and he would not be what he is today. I don't think so, because those people are the ones who propped him up. So you had to play into them. You had to play to them. Yeah, and you know, and that's why I like President Trump, because he does things his own way. You know, he went out to North Korea, and met the leader there. And that was also, that's what he could have done. He could have done that for Muammar Gaddafi. Same thing, you know, just being bold. But I think he's just, he's a simp.
But your brother said Trump was all part of the Russian conspiracy, and Trump is somehow a Russian agent. Was that all a plan by your brother, those around him, Hillary Clinton, to prevent the American people making a democratic decision, the lies about Russia?
Yeah, that's all made up. That's all made up. That's all those conspiracy theories. And, you know, they've been trying to get Trump for many, many, you know, on many fronts. You know, they've got him. First of all, they said that he was in cahoots with the Russians. Then they started talking about Ukraine. And then they got him on all these fake charges. And they're trying to bring him down. Even the J6, you know, when all those people stormed the Capitol, he told them to go home. He told them to go home, not to go and invade the Capitol. But that's been, you know, swept under the rug, and nobody wants to even talk about that. So it's all made up, you know, all these things. They cook up all these stories and churn them up, just as they're doing with Kamala Harris right now. She's done absolutely nothing. All she does is bombard us with all these things on Twitter and what she's supposed to or what she's going to do. Why didn't she do them while she was in office? She's been in office for 4 years, you know, and they're making it seem like, you know, sweeping everything under the rug. Joe Biden, why they let him go all the way up to the debate and then all of a sudden drop him? You know, if they knew that, like now they're saying that, they're making way for a new generation, and he's making that sacrifice. Why is he waiting? Why did he wait until the last minute? It's almost like 4 months to the elections.
Malik Obama, I'll stop you there. I'll stop you there. More from the brother of former U.S. President Barack Obama and chairman of the Barack H. Obama Foundation after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with the brother of former U.S. President Barack Obama and author of Big Bad Brother from Kenya, Malik Obama. Still in a car in a Kenyan street. You were talking about the lies against Trump and the fake Russia lies and how Kamala Harris was installed. It was your brother, under your brother Barack Obama, that there was a coup in Ukraine. We know Biden repeatedly lied about his family connections to corruption in Ukraine. What was your brother up to? Did she know about the Victoria Nuland coup in Kiev and in Ukraine? Trump refers to this, of course. Trump refers to you and your support. And Trump repeatedly says, this war must end.
Yeah, he's part of the whole thing because, like I say, coming up through the ranks, you know, he must have met a lot of people back in Chicago. And I'm not sure who these people are, but they're definitely the people who are running things, you know. And so, you know, they gave him a script, you know, and he has to go by that script. And then all of a sudden, maybe because he's the one who was successful in becoming president, and he's the only one who's really out there, because Hillary Clinton tried, but she fell on her face. She couldn't make it. But Barack Obama, he's the president, or the former president. He's the face of the Democratic Party, you know. So right now, it's like he's pulling the strings, you know. They have to go back there, and I'm sure that they're getting advice from him. When Joe Biden had to step down, I believe that he was forced, because he kept on to the last minute saying that he is, equal to the task, that he's not ready to step down. And all of a sudden, boom, he's stepping down. So there must have been some heavy duty decisions that were made. And I'm sure that my brother Barack Obama was part of it. And I'm sure that right now he's probably pulling the strings and running the show. And he has to be, because Joe Biden was his vice president for 8 years, meaning that even if Biden was the president, I'm sure that Obama was the one who was telling him what to do. And now he's running the show, from wherever he is.
Obama was ruthless. Barack Obama, your brother, was ruthless in persecuting his enemies. It was, of course, Julian Assange is going to speak for the first time since he was released from prison. He's going to speak tomorrow at the Council of Europe. But do you think they've successfully destroyed your character to try and make out you're just a jealous brother, so anything you say about what really has been going on in Washington is just jealousy and not anything concrete and real? How have they tried to destroy you?
I'm glad you put it that way, because they forget that for 8 good years, I supported him. I said nothing bad about him, nothing negative about him. I went along with the charade until I realized that it was for nothing. He does nothing. I'm just telling you, it's got nothing to do with jealousy. I was his brother. I was there. When he became president, I supported him. I went over. And when they, reporters would come to me and ask me all kinds of questions, all kinds of things, I never said one bad thing about him. Nothing negative. Until I realized that it was, a waste of time, because every time all my efforts to try and bring him closer, were unsuccessful. I tried. I went to the White House almost 8 times during that presidency and tried to talk to him like his big brother, see if he could at least, he's the president of the United States. He got this award, Nobel Peace Prize. Everybody loved him, but he does nothing for his family back home.
Yeah, but away from
it's
that,
almost like he took
away from that, Malik, 26,172 people killed. He joked about drone bombings at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. What does that make you feel as his brother, that he murdered that many people? He knew how many civilians he was killing all across the world.
And that's why I say that he's fake, and all these Democrats are extremely hypocritical in going around talking about, being the good guys. While in fact they've done a lot of bad things. Now, being somebody who is a laureate and a recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, I don't even know what he got that for, because there's nowhere that he went. And no, even the Middle East is in a mess. The Libya is in a mess. The whole world was in a mess while he was president. And they gave him that prize even before, I think it was the first year of his presidency, having done nothing really to deserve the prize. So he can't even make peace with me. I'm not sure he wants me to go and keel over, backwards, and worship him. so that he feels good or what. But I tell it as it is. It's got nothing to do with jealousy, my friend. I'm not jealous of him. I'm happy. If he's the son of my father and he's successful, why shouldn't I be happy? You know? But if he's going to be successful and then everybody else is, you know, he throws them under the bus. That means that, you know, he's just selfish. He wants to feel like he's on top of the world all by himself. And when you think about it, what are his achievements? What are the achievements? When you talk about Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton brought something called AGOA to Africa. George Bush, he brought a program to help people with HIV. When you think of Obama, he's from Africa. His father is from Africa. What has he done for Africa? Now, I'm just talking about Africa. Now, when we talk about the whole world, what has he done? No, nothing. He's just the first black or African-American president of the United States. And the only thing you can you can say about him is the Obamacare, the affordable, is it the health care, the act.
A lot of criticism of that too. A lot of criticism of that, too. And, of course, he's known as the butcher of Libya. But you think Kamala Harris would be basically a fourth Obama term? Obama saw the coup in Kiev that would eventually lead to the Ukraine proxy war on Russia. He destroyed Libya. He appointed Biden as vice president, who is now Holocaust Harris's ex-leader. Because he's Genocide Joe, of course, because of what's happened in Gaza and in Palestine. And Kamala Harris would just be another continuation, you think, of Obama, in a sense, in terms of the mass murder and killing.
Yeah, I pray with all my heart that Donald Trump, President Trump, wins this election. Because Mr. Trump, the qualities and the character that he has, you know, I admire that. He's up to the point. He tells you the truth. I prefer somebody who comes and tells me point blank, you don't like me. Finished. As opposed to someone smiling in my face and then stab me in the back, you know. And you see, Obama and all, they're that kind of people. They try to make that they're so nice. But in the back room, you know, they're scheming all these bad things. There's nothing that they're really doing for anybody. Look at the USA right now. I myself went to the USA in 1985. I went through the right channels. I put in my papers. I got my green card and everything. My children are in the USA right now. I went through the right channels. I made my visa application. I paid my fees. I waited for whatever time they're supposed to do. I was supposed to wait. And then it's like a meat grinder, but I went through it. And at long last, they're in the USA legally. But all these people who are just swarming into the USA, you know, it makes me mad, angry.
Well, that's the big issue, of course, Trump is raising. But, you know, your brother, you said if he didn't do what the deep state, so-called, wanted him to do, he wouldn't have become president and wouldn't have been able to continue being president. Was it just his ambition then and that's why he did it? Or was there anything on him? You know the rumors about his sexuality. And, of course, we know from history that leaders who don't do what the deep state likes get killed. We've already seen assassination attempts on Donald Trump. Did they have something on your brother?
No, I kind of like, I hold him responsible. I mean, he has to, the buck stops with him because...
So he wasn't being blackmailed over being gay secretly or anything like that?
Now, the issue of him being gay, I don't know about that, but when I was with him, he didn't seem to me like he was gay yet, but you never can tell. But, you know, his stance on homosexuality and LGBTQT plus and all that, you know, he's like, anything goes, you know, man. I mean, I believe that a man is for a woman and a woman is for a man.
Well, he did support equality of rights. But do you believe the guy who you're named after, Malcolm X, was killed by the deep state? And do you believe that they're going to try and kill Trump again? Or do you think they tried to kill Donald Trump, these forces that you say exerted that pressure on your brother Barack, are they responsible for the attempts on Trump's life?
Yeah, Malcolm X was assassinated because you're saying a lot of things that people didn't want to hear at that time. You know, definitely there must have been, there was, you know, a plan, and it was planned, and he was shot and killed. And of course, and many other people have been shot and killed.
Trump
and,
says he'll open the papers on JFK's assassination as well.
I'm not sure that I can really answer that question because there's a lot of crazy, crazy people, you know, all over the world, and people are in there. Maybe they want to shoot somebody so that they can, you know, be in the papers or something like that, you know. But Barack Obama, he could have been played along with them up until his second term. And that, during his second term, he had nothing to lose. So he could have done, he could have been himself. You know, unless it is him, it is him. Maybe it is him. And he hoodwinked me and us when he was here in 1988 or the early, you know, in the early parts of his life. Maybe he was just, you know, fooling us. But deep down inside, that's how he was. Maybe he's just a mean, evil guy. I don't know. But even if he's not, then during his second term, and he's a nice, he could have been that nice guy. You know, no matter what the deep state thought, it was his last term. He had nothing to lose. If he was going to be a good person, he's going to be, you know, yeah, a good person. He could have been good the second part of his term. But he was just the same old guy. And I really think that either he's really evil or he's a wimp, you know. He's got no backbone. He's doing what others want him to do. And if not, these people are using him because he's the only credible person right out there right now, you know, and they need him and his name, you know, to stay in power.
Malik Obama, next time it'll have to be in a Nairobi studio, I think. But thank you so much. We invite your brother, of course, to see whether he what he thinks of what you're saying. Thank you so much, Malik Obama.
Yeah, but I'm saying, what if you really want to know what's going on, read my book.
Thank you, Malik. That's it for the show. Our continued condolences to those bereaved by the UK-US-EU armed genocide in this region. We'll be back with a brand new episode on Saturday. Until then, keep in touch by all our social media. If it's not censored in your country, and head to our channel, Going Underground TV on rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Saturday.